Fatherhood. It has almost an aura, like the scotch and cigarettes of the poem we just heard, but different for each generation. For me and my dad, it would have been his aftershave, the worn wood and metal tools in our basement, his love of jazz. Thinking of it is like an echo of my childhood. Looking back, it's gotten faded and cloudy now. It's more of a feeling than a memory. My dad, not unlike the men of his day, was a bit of an authoritarian. And I, the youngest of three, came with a streak of anti-authoritarianism. Yes, you can see how that might have made things interesting from time to time for us both. I developed a dozen different strategies to elude my parents' plans to get me to do what they thought I should. Torturous things like eating my vegetables, learning to read, or cleaning my room. And they developed a dozen different strategies to get me to do it anyway. Suffice it to say, me and my dad, me and my parents, we didn't necessarily make it easy on each other every day. My dad changed and loosened up over the years. More playfulness emerged that I know was always there, but came with a mustache and a Camaro in his 40s and a new sailboat. I think they called that a midlife crisis back in the day. And when his grandkids were born, something changed again, loosened even more. I heard a story at his memorial service that involved a can of Ready Whip, a couple of grandkids about 20 feet away, and a graceful arc of whipped cream caught by the waiting mouths of two delighted kids. Okay, so it may have been 2 feet and not 20. The distance seems to increase with each telling of the story, but you get the idea. Still, somehow my dad had it in him to be both playful and maintain a certain gravitas he never lost. Those are a few snippets of my dad. That's who I think of when I think of fathers and when I think of Father's Day. We all have different memories, different experiences, some wonderful and warm, some sad or disappointing, some defined more by absence than by presence, some memories that were hard growing up, and some that are still hard today. I was talking with a friend of mine this week who told me she didn't have the greatest father, so Father's Day for her is always hard. She told me she would try growing up to recreate him in her mind as the father she wanted. She didn't succeed, of course. He was who he was. She tells me that with a matter of factness, but I can't help but think just how unfair that really is. On this Father's Day, I want to share with you a couple of vignettes from a book of stories of fathers called When I First Held You, edited by Brian Gresko. Stories of happy fathers, regretful fathers, hopeful fathers. Stories that open up a little window into the reality of this, one of the biggest of human experiences. A snapshot of what it's like for the dads, as well as the children they fathered, and the journeys we all go through with one another. Lev Grossman, for example, writes about his journey of change with his daughter, Lily. He had not only become a father, but decided he would stay home to be her primary caretaker, a change that he discovered did not come as easily as he expected. As a writer, Grossman would spend Saturdays before his daughter was born writing books all day, every day. Now, he laments, his output slowed to a trickle as instead of writing, he changed diapers, made lunches, played games, gave baths, sang songs, all the things that parents do. They had never sounded especially hard, he writes. He had always thought that parents were a bit whiny about them. Until he realized that being a parent was harder than anybody let on and that people weren't whining nearly enough. To 6 months in, it got to a point. He felt like he was sacrificing himself, his vocation, for his daughter, and he started acting out. He became, in his own words, a bad person. He nursed his resentments. He drank too much. Wine with dinner, then wine without dinner, then binging with childless friends. Any man who has to take care of a baby while nursing a hangover on 2 hours of sleep deserves what he gets, he said, and he got plenty. It wasn't appealing, it wasn't sustainable. Something had to give. And it did. And it was him. Something changed, shifted, snapped, as he put it. He saw it first in his writing. He began to see his previous work as cold, dull, and lifeless, but 6 months in, half a year after the birth of his new daughter, he suddenly had a new idea, something that he labeled fresh and weird and risky. But he went with it. He took a week off and wound up with the most productive week he'd ever had and feeling more proud of that story than anything he'd ever written. Something was afoot, he writes. I was waking up. Something inside me, the emotional ice pack, was cracking and melting. Feelings that I had been avoiding for decades were thawing out and leaking through, both good and bad. Joy, grief, anger, hope, longing. I was warming up, and buried things were surfacing. And the cause of this cosmic disturbance was Lily, his daughter. I couldn't stay frozen around her. She wouldn't have it. I was raised by cool, distant parents to be a cool, distant person, but there's no point in trying to be cool or distant around a baby, he writes. Babies have no filters, and around Lily, I was losing track of my filters, too. You can't BS a baby. Right? Lily set the bar high as far as honesty was concerned, and I was not going to disappoint her. For the first time in my life, Grossman continues, I felt like it mattered what I did and who I was. It was all well and good for me to mess around and write mediocre fiction when I was just some guy. But I wasn't just some guy anymore. I was now Lily's father. Anytime I wrote a sentence that was less than true, I could feel her looking over my shoulder and shaking her head slowly and sadly. Come on, Daddy. We both know that's not real. Having a child didn't make me wise or mature, he writes, but it did make me realize how unwise and immature I had been. It was a start. There's a theme in many of the stories from these fathers in this book of journeys of transformation. Some beginning with loss of a sense of who they had been, loss of the focus on what before had seemed so important, replaced by an experience that is new, different, unexpected even. And then sometimes a shift in perspective, a new insight, a waking up. Sometimes a literal waking up as well as figurative, as in the essay by Alexei Zenter in that same book. My daughter wants waffles, he writes. I know this, he continues, because it is 5:14 in the morning, and she is in her bedroom yelling the word waffles over and over again. Each time she says waffles, she yells the word differently, as if she is making a meal out of the letters. She tries the word on for fit. Waffles. 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 It doesn't matter to her that it is 5:14 in the morning, or that her mother and I are trying to sleep, or that her older sister, Zoe, is also trying to sleep. The only thing that matters to my youngest daughter, Sabine, is this. She wants waffles. I do not want to be awake. I am awake. Yet Zenter realizes, even in the midst of his fatigue, in the midst of the exhaustion of being a new dad, that he is also, as he puts it, waking up. Waking up to the ways in which his life no longer feels his own. Waking up to a new way of looking at even stories that have wound their way through his family and his psyche since his own childhood. Like the story of his own father and his father's mistress. As he sorts out the last of his father's estate, he finds a letter his father wrote to her, a letter in which he complains that Zenter and his brother were the anchors that prevented him from sailing for new waters. His father resented them, he wrote, because his boys would never let him be truly free. I already knew about the mistress, Zenter writes, but yet I am undone. Not by the complications of my father's love life or the resentment against his children, but rather by the knowledge that the tie binding him to us was strong enough that he could not break it. I am fully awake to the understanding that there is at least one thing I have in common with my father. It is the knowledge that I too am tethered to my children. I too am anchored. Zenter writes of his moments as a dad. The sweet moments when one of his girls will come down in the morning clutching a blanket, leaning against him with no thought that he could ever be anything but a solid presence in her life. Or times they leapt from stairs and ledges and chairs and playground structures knowing he would be there to catch them. And he writes of his hard moments as a dad. Raised voices, stompings upstairs, slammed doors, yelled accusations, warnings, and lectures. Over the same thing it always is, he writes, coats on the floor instead of on a hook, a door left open for the dogs to run outside, daily coaxing of homework and piano lessons. And then a new day with apologies, hugs, and hopes that scars will fade. There are moments, he writes, when he looks at one of his girls and feels physical pain, an actual ache that travels from the base of his neck through his chest at how much he loves them. And there are moments, he writes, when he understands why his father wrote that letter. But he concludes this way. He and his brothers may well have been anchors, leaving their father with the feeling that his head was below water. And Zenter's girls to him may well be anchors too. But the difference between Zenter's father and himself is this. There is a joy to breathing underwater that his father never understood. New perspective, new understanding, part of a journey of fatherhood. From a feeling of being underwater to a feeling of being able to breathe in joy, even underwater. I want to end coming back to my relationship with my own father, the ups and downs and challenges that we experienced, the sweet, fun times, as well as the misunderstandings and missed understandings. I suspect there are ways I perplexed my father, and I know there are ways I did not always fully understand where he was coming from. So I feel lucky that the last September of his life, he and I got to sit out on the patio at my parents' house, an unusually warm, unusually beautiful September week. We had made some minor repairs around the house, things my dad wanted to get done before he knew he'd be gone. And I really wanted to help, although I'm not sure how much help I was. But that afternoon, we were just sitting on the patio with lots of space, just sitting together, which we never really did. My dad asked me about my plans for my career, my life, really, he was asking. And I shared with him some of the thoughts I had and some hopes and some uncertainties. He understood something about the moment I was in between. I was in midair, just finished school, not sure how things would go, didn't know where I would land. Later, he would express that one of the hardest things about knowing he was dying was that he'd never get to see how it all turned out. He didn't say much that day, though. He didn't say much, but my strong father, whose presence was so solid, as we were both sitting there contemplating this uncertain moment I was in, perhaps both realizing he wouldn't be with me, however it turned out, he got silent, and I realized he was holding back his tears. So then I got silent too, with tears behind my eyes, and we sat together for I don't know how long. But that is the memory I have that heals me every time. Suddenly seeing and understanding and feeling deeply understood. He didn't tell me what to do. He didn't reassure me that it would all be fine. So we just sat. And it was like a blessing for whatever would happen that I carry with me to this day. Fathers and their children, children and our fathers, loving each other, changing each other, journeying together. Hallmark might try to simplify, but may we find the space to hold it all. Our experience, its wide complexity, its sadness, and its beauty. And on this Father's Day, may we pause to notice, find healing for whatever is not yet healed, recognize joy, and may we experience the ever-unfolding wisdom that our journeys have to offer us. May it be so. Amen.